Thank you, Chair. The ICRC on this topic sees some of the things that are listed as mitigation measures here, not as optional or context specific, but rather as clear legal requirements. And I think this was already flagged to some extent by some delegations in the previous question, including the representative from Mexico. I just wanted to highlight two very clear examples. Firstly, the reference to legal reviews. Effective legal reviews are a clear obligation for states that are party to Additional Protocol 1, and for all states, they're critical to ensuring that their armed forces comply with IHL rules in the use of any weapon systems. And the ICRC endorses the view, which has already previously been recognised by this group's guiding principle in sub-principle E and previously by states in other sessions of this group. We endorse that weapons reviews of autonomous weapons are a crucial step in the process of ensuring compliance with international law, just as they are with any new weapon system that's being studied or developed, acquired or adopted. The other clear example that I wanted to point to in this screen is the text in the sixth bullet point that refers to assessments of expected civilian harm and concrete and direct military advantage. Chair, this directly reflects the prohibition that's contained in Article 51.5b of Additional Protocol 1 and accepted as part of customary IHL. And it prohibits attacks that may be expected to cause incidental loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, damage to civilian objects, or a combination that would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage anticipated. I think there are others in the list, including regarding the training of personnel, allowing attribution of individual and state responsibility, and instituting mechanisms for reporting, investigating, and ensuring accountability for IHL violations. These are already clear existing IHL obligations. So we would have some serious concerns with any language that ultimately suggested that these obligations were somehow discretionary rather than mandatory. Finally, many of the other points on the screen relate to aspects that we have previously argued, including throughout the course of this week, need to be incorporated either as aspects of a prohibition on certain autonomous weapon systems, and here we're particularly referring to the wording related to the predictability of an autonomous weapon, or otherwise incorporated as restrictions on other autonomous weapon systems. And this is particularly relevant to the bullet on the second page that talks of limiting types of targets, duration, geographic scope and scale of use. We won't go into detail on these points here, and instead we refer back to and rely on our previous interventions and recommendations. But just to emphasise that, in our view, it is crucial that these prohibitions and restrictions be enshrined in legally binding international rules in order to provide certainty and clarity, and also to address wider humanitarian risks and ethical concerns. No doubt these rules could be complemented and reinforced by common policy standards and good practice guidance, but those kinds of measures can't be a substitute for clear binding new law. Thank you, Chair.
I would like to thank you for your